I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. Speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors conducted Media Day to announce the beginning of the 2018-2019 season, in which we heard from new head coach Nick Nurse. Kawhi Leonard was indeed in the building, as was Danny Green. Masai gave an impassioned speech, which is, you know, what he's best at beyond swindling teams. And yeah, we heard from several of the old Raptors and all of the new Raptors. So it was an exciting time. I'm going to get to sort of what went on during Media Day and also just sort of the atmosphere in the room. But first and foremost, it's fun to be back for a new season. And a programming note, the Raptors Reaction Podcast will continue just like last year. I'm not sure if it's going to be as immediately after games as it was last season. But by the next day, there will be a podcast about the game that night. And yeah, for everyone who's been listening and who has listened to all of these, thank you very much. And for any new listeners, welcome to the show. And I hope you keep following along for the whole season. So, Media Day. First off, the Raptors had Nick Nurse come in, opening the procession. Nick Nurse was, I thought, he was given a fair shot in terms of just a lot of the questions from the press, especially on a media day, sort of the more general press. Like, you see, like, you know, CP24, CTV come in. They're not obviously at every game, every event. And so when these sort of bigger outlets come in and more general outlets come in, a lot of the questions sort of, you know, start becoming more general. And so a lot of questions were phrased in a way that, you know, really focused on two or three storylines, you know, obviously Kawhi and everything in terms of, is he happy? Is he, you know, does he want to stay here and stuff like that? There was a focus on whether or not Kyle Lowry still trusts the organization and basically just treating him like he's super emotional and, you know, wouldn't be able to cope without DeMar being here. Even though he coped just fine when his last best friend Rudy Gay was moved to San Antonio or moved to Sacramento. And Kyle Lowry had, you know, his career blossom after that, you know. But, yeah, I mean, those were a lot of the storylines that were generally pressed. But I thought Nick was all right. He handled it well. You know, he really emphasized that his team is full of grinders, people who, you know, he wants his team to be aggressive on both ends. You know, he talked about his meeting with Kawhi in the, after the trade. One which he previously described, like, you know, that Kawhi lit up like a Christmas tree, which sounded a bit funny to me, to be honest. But yeah, you know, like he said that he's maintained a commitment and communication to Kawhi throughout the offseason as well as all the players. And yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't really give up too much in terms of how he's going to play. Admittedly, most of the questions were not about that. Like I said, they're mostly about general things like, you know, is everyone happy? And it's sort of weird, but no, I mean, he's the one thing he did say, which I'm working on this piece about the Raptors and their three-point shooting, and I asked him a question about whether or not the Raptors could see another jump at three-point shooting, because 16-17 the Raptors attempted 22 threes per game, and then Nick Nurse took a lot more control of the offense last season, and the Raptors jumped up to 33 attempts. And I figured, you know, could there be another jump coming with DeMar going out and Danny Green and Kawhi coming in? And yeah, Nick Nurse sort of said he doesn't have a specific number in mind in terms of how many threes he wants to hit. It's sort of a, you know, give what the defense or take what the defense gives you. And the Raptors are going to focus on shots of the rim and shots at the three-point line. And he said some nights they're going to give you the rim, sometimes they're going to give you the arc. And so you just have to take the looks. And he said that, you know, the Raptors do have more qualified three-point shooters this season. Also guys who made it at a better percentage, which I thought is key, because although the Raptors were third in attempts last season behind Brooklyn and Houston, The Raptors were not in the top five in three-point percentage. They were not. They were kind of an average team, and kind of to start the year, they were kind of a really, really below average team in terms of percentage. But you add high percentage guys like Danny Green and Kawhi, and you know that should lend itself to more three-point shooting. So that's about as much as Nick said in terms of just what the offense is going to look like. After that, the most anticipated event pretty much of the entire offseason was, you know, Kawhi Leonard finally getting introduced and also Danny Green getting introduced as well. Danny Green is, you know, if you've heard his podcast, is, you know, very well-spoken, really approachable, very warm individual, and he was cracking jokes and, you know, making jokes like, oh, yeah, like, I finally got to talk, you know, like, you know. Because he's basically been sort of subjugated to being a Kawhi Leonard interpreter or anything like that. And I mean, those jokes were funny, but I mean, like, this was an instance where I don't think Kawhi needed anyone to speak for him. I thought Kawhi actually did really well in his first media appearance in terms of as a Raptor. It's funny to think about all the hoopla and hand-wringing that went on the week before this, where you got guys in the media, you know, talking about how, wow, you know, like people are not, the organization's not happy with him canceling and jumping appointments and stuff like that, which like, the scheduling just didn't work out. It's not a big thing. Like the schedule just didn't work out. It's not anything criminal or anything like that, anything out of line. And I thought it was sort of much about nothing. It wasn't like he was going to skip media day, and he didn't. He came out, he answered questions. He was, and by he, I mean Kawhi. I thought he was different from sort of the way people are described. And you know, like, this is the first time I've seen him talk in person. This is kind of one of maybe the first, like, three or four times I've actually watched him at a press conference give extended answers. But I thought he was, you know, thoughtful with his answers. I thought he was careful with his answers. Thought he was obviously well prepared, you know, by the media team to address some of the questions about his future, about the team, and about his level of commitment and San Antonio and stuff like that. And I thought he handled it great. And so, you know, in terms of Kawhi, that's funny. His first words were, "I'm a fun guy," and then he did this weird laugh because he couldn't see Doug Smith in the crowd, and it was such a strange laugh, and it became this huge viral moment, which I actually think is a good thing because, you know, I mean, look, first off, the laugh is just hilarious, whatever, right? I don't think anyone's heard him laugh. But the fact that that moment went viral, like, how many viral moments do you know from Kawhi Leonard? You know what I mean? Like, if his uncle and everything like that is his manager, you know, if he wants him to get more of a spotlight and, you know, become more of a recognizable face, a recognizable star in this league, I mean, you need moments to go viral. That's sort of what it is in today's league. And if you're not actively creating these moments because you're not on social media, and Kawhi is a very reserved guy about social media, then, you know, you need some of these moments to pop. And I thought it was really funny. Like, I thought there was probably more coverage of Kawhi Leonard and his weird laugh today from the press conference than there was about any kind of moment he had off the court in San Antonio, right? Like, where you actually see him and him speak and him, you know, just him physically there, right? Like, when you hear about Kawhi Leonard, it's like rumors about him being traded. He's not actually there. And him winning Finals MVP, which, you know, was obviously a great moment, legitimized him, everything like that. But that was 2014, right? Like, it's been a long time. So it's nice that it produced that moment. But I thought he answered things quite well. You know, he said he's excited to be coming to a city that loves basketball. He said it was a great organization. He was happy that Danny Green came with him. You know, he said that, you know, obviously the fans in Toronto are very passionate. He sort of admired that from afar. You know, he also said that he's healthy, which is great. Obviously, there was a concern there because he only played 9 games last season. But, I mean, all the reports of the offseason was that he's healthy. And, you know, today he finally confirmed that he is indeed healthy. You know, he also said that he's coming to Toronto with an open mind. Now, granted, he didn't say anything like, yo, I'm going to stay right now. Of course, why would you say that, right? He's, you know, I don't think he's even reached that point at all. But it seemed like in terms of his attitude towards the season and whether or not he's going to play, I think he definitely is excited to play. I think he has definitely seized the opportunity that's here before him. And, you know, him saying he's going to come with an open mind is kind of all the Raptors can really hope for at this point, right? Obviously, we knew well, that when the Raptors traded for him, Toronto was not his preferred destination, right? You know, the list was already out there through the press, and the Raptors still, you know, decided to make that trade, thinking that they could, you know, try to sway him. And so, if you're going to try to sway somebody, that guy has to at least have an open mind about being swayed. So it's nice, and you know, he talked about, you know, the goal being championships, and that, you know, he wants to win. I think that's the, he thinks that's the best way for the Raptors, you know, to you know, to succeed this season. He also, there was also a reporter from San Antonio that was in the building. He was actually sitting right beside me, Tom Osborne. And yeah, so he asked him about, you know, do you know, have any lingering regrets about anything in San Antonio? And, you know, Kawhi said, you know, quote, "I have no regrets." And then, yeah, he said he wanted to focus on this team and whatever, the usual PR answer. But him saying, "I have no regrets," I thought was pretty savage, sort of just like right off the bat, like, "I have no regrets about what happened." And obviously, it was a really ugly thing, and we don't know the exact details of what happened beyond the fact that San Antonio just couldn't really fully manage his injury properly, and he kind of lost trust like that. I'm not sure what else went on behind the scenes, but, you know, it was kind of nice for him to just kind of shut that down, because it's probably going to be a lingering storyline throughout the year for sure, but you know, you got to be able to be prepared to answer those questions and not create too much controversy, and I think Kawhi did that while also shutting it down a little bit. So yeah, I mean, the other moment from that presser, so it was Kawhi, Danny Green, and also Masai sitting in the middle, and there was at one point where I'm not sure who it was, but someone asked if that if Danny and Kawhi coming to the Raptors is going to legitimize the franchise, which, you know, I don't think is an unfair question. I just think that it's a difficult question to ask in this sort of context, because you're never going to get anything other than defiance. But I mean, yeah, I just generally, I agree with the sentiment, because there sort of has to be some sort of legitimizing, because I think both the Canadian audience doesn't really think too much about the Raptors in terms of just like, you know, they come secondary to other sports in the city or in the country, right? Like a lot of hockey teams are ahead of them in terms of a national, I'm not talking about Toronto, like a national perspective. And also in terms of even a local perspective, like if the Jays are doing well, generally they do better than the Raptors, right? So there's kind of a inferiority there. And also there's an inferiority because, you know, generally speaking, you know, the American coverage of this team is not usually in a positive, or even not even a positive, but just like a serious light. Like, they don't really see the Raptors as serious, which, you know, when you see what happens in the playoffs, I get why that is, but still, it's sort of a general issue. And then, you know, the reporter who asked the question also brought up sort of the history of, you know, players wanting to come to Toronto and that sort of being a concern. And I thought Masai really did step in and answer that really well. I think, you know, he went on this rant, which I think is really worth checking out. I think you can find some of these clips on YouTube or TSN or Sportsnet or whatever. But Masai said, quote, "The narrative of not wanting to come to the city is gone. I think that's old and we should move past that. Believe in this city. Believe in yourself. We can stop talking about coming to the city or wanting to come to the city. That's old talk. We want to win. We have a privilege and an opportunity to beat one of the NBA teams here. That's a huge privilege for us. And I think it's our job to try and get these players. It's our job to try and sell it to these players here, but we're proud of who we are. We're proud to have these guys. We're proud to have the young guys we have. We're proud of what Kyle and everyone has done here. Let's move past the narrative of wanting to stay here, wanting to come here." And I thought that was just a great little moment there. And it was actually emanable. You could actually hear audible cheers from sort of the background, not from the press, but people behind the press and stuff like that. After Masai kind of gave that speech, it was kind of like if you watch The West Wing, you know, like he kind of gave like a like a presidential speech, basically. And it was kind of a rousing moment, you know what I mean? Like, because I think he kind of did tell the truth on the Raptors fans, right? Like, part of it is also, like, I think us as fans, we're not proud enough to just have what it is, right? Like, maybe that's part of Canadians as well, just have this sort of inferiority complex. But he kind of put it all on blast. It's like, yo, listen, you're not going to be that guy until you believe that you are that guy. And I think that's a really refreshing take, because you know, everyone's always worried about, like, what else can we do? What kind of, you know, everyone's worried about, like, I read a lot of the reactions. And it's like, oh, man, how's the media going to chase Kawhi away and this and that? Are we too desperate? And it's like, no, man, come on, just believe in yourself. Toronto's a good organization. They've had really good success over the last couple of years. And, you know, I think under Masai, I think it has really changed the attitude. So it was nice. He also went on in a separate scrum to talk even more about, you know, just killing off this narrative and, you know, giving it a fair shot and something like that. But, yeah, I think in terms of, you know, not a lot of questions are asked of Masai because he already did his press conference after the after the trade, and also, you know, he's one on the Woj pod, and he answered some questions at his Giants of Africa luncheon. So, you know, he didn't have a lot of things to say at this press conference today, but when he needed to, I think he delivered a home run. And again, if you haven't seen the speech, go see it, because I think it was very important, it was very needed, and I think Masai being the one to deliver this message really worked, because he is clearly a very great public speaker, and you know, I thought what he said here was really important. There was the Kyle Lowry interview after that, which, man, I did not see this coming, because, you know, Kyle Lowry is an adult. First off, he's a full ass adult. He's 33 years old. He's been around the league a couple of times. You know, he's been traded. He's been, you know, shoved in down the bench, and, you know, he's had all the experiences, right? So he's just all the highs, all the lows, you know, like, so I didn't see this coming, but every single question for Kyle was some ridiculous variant of, are you going to be emotionally capable of handling DeMar's absence? And do you still trust the franchise? And are you ready to work? And I think Kyle kind of was anticipating this. I think the Raptors media team was anticipating this. And so he came prepared with answers, and I thought he was pretty well equipped to handle them. You know, Kyle is... he doesn't really love doing this media stuff, and he'll crack jokes and stuff like that, but I thought he handled it well. But it was just like question after question on the same thing about, like, are you gonna be okay after DeMar, as if like this dude can't handle himself. And I thought it was really pedantic, to be honest, for that to be happening. I was kind of embarrassed in the 5 minutes that the interview went on, where every single one was just, you know, Kyle Lowry sort of being grilled about this. But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, man. He said, you know, yeah, I mean, he basically said that everything's gonna be fine. Like, he's always, you know, been ready to work. He's always been about that. He's not, you know, in terms of him avoiding questions in the offseason, he says every offseason, I don't talk to the press. And, you know, you can go back and check. Yeah, Kyle Lowry is indeed not talked to the press or the offseason. You're not entitled to get quotes from him during the off season. It's legitimately not work, right? And, like, you know, like, just think about it on your end. Like, if your boss or whoever came up to you and was like, yo, where was this? And you're like, well, I was not at the office, or I was not scheduled to work that day. Like, is, you know, you would feel some kind of way about it, right? So if someone came to you on during vacation, for example, right? So, you know, I thought Kyle handled it all really well. You know, he said he hasn't really had a chance to talk to Nick Nurse when I asked him about sort of, you know, just sort of his role in the offense this season. And, you know, he said he's going to see during training camp to see where everyone shakes out. But, yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of him and DeMar, you know, he said he, you know, obviously him and DeMar are the friendship is bigger than basketball. You know, he was actually on FaceTime with him the night before media day. So it was cute and whatever. And, yeah, I mean, he obviously he's bummed, but, like, you know, he's a business, and Kyle Lowry has been a hard worker, and that's sort of what he's talked about, despite the fact that he's been grilled about it nonstop. So I hopefully that narrative dies, because that one's just really unfair. I just think that, like, I think Kyle can definitely handle himself. And then, yeah, in terms of the other things, I mean, Van Vliet spoke, you know, typical stuff. You know, he's, you know, I don't think there's going to be too much of a change in his role or things like that. You know, he talked about the culture is still gonna be the same, but the thought process of how we do things is gonna be a lot different under Nurse as opposed to Casey. And you know, that's cool. I don't think he said anything too profound. I asked him about, you know, if Monroe replacing Jakob Poeltl on the bench unit and how that would affect the way the team plays, because Monroe is sort of a slower dude who isn't as active defensively and doesn't really, you know, play in transition as well as Poeltl did. Yeah, I mean, Van Vliet's kind of said that, you know, the bench mob who were working in LA for the entire offseason, you know, Greg Monroe got to go down there and play with them a couple times. So, Van Vliet told him that, you know, this is how we want to play. We don't want to change that. We want to change ends. And if Monroe wants to get a couple baskets in the post, it's not an issue, especially since he's a good passer. And so he doesn't really sort of anticipate any issues. And he says that Monroe is sort of already aware of the existing play style. But yeah, I think he's fine with that. And also later, Monroe also spoke to the press and he said that, you know, he doesn't want to be pigeonholed as like a guy who plays back to the basket and stuff like that. You know, that's sort of dependent on his role in previous scenarios, which I agree to some extent, but also I need to see it first to believe it. But I mean, everyone's very positive on Media Day. DeLon Wright spoke to the press, you know, talked about working on three-point shooting. OG spoke to the press very shortly, you know. you know, he said he's got an explosive in his back, and you know, I don't really see too much of an issue. Yeah, I mean, he said he's comfortable playing either the three or the fours. He says there's no difference there. I don't know. It's an OG interview. He didn't say too much. And he said, yeah, he's going to miss Yak and DeMar. He made a point to specifically mention Yak, which I thought was nice because everyone's really focusing on the DeMar aspect for that bench unit, you know. Yak was actually a pivotal piece, I thought. You know, DeLon said he's working on off the dribble threes, and also his size. I thought DeLon looked a little bit bigger too, like in a good way, like, you know, like more prepared to play all the positions, which I think is important. You could definitely see him playing more threes. I think it's really trending for him to do that, and it's a really nice skill set to have, because. Yeah, if you can play 1, 2, and 3, that's a very versatile player, and the Raptors have given him the position and the freedom to do so. JV came through, looking trim. Yeah, I mean, you know, he said it was weird that DeMar and Casey are not there anymore. You know, those are the two guys that he first met when he got here, and so, you know, he said it's sad, but you know, he's part of the business. You know, he called Nick Nurse a great coach, which is nice because. Out of all the guys, Nick Nurse has probably worked the closest with JV and the entire coaching staff. And so I'm sure JV's thrilled that, you know, Nick was the guy. You know, yeah, I mean, he also said that he hated to talk about it, but he said, quote, it is a better team. And, you know, you still got to go out there and show it. And you still got to go out there and prove it. You can talk. But, yeah, on paper, you know, we have a really good team on paper. All the positions are great shooters, not bad in the center position, you know. We can do big things. How are we going to prove that, right? So I think that was really nice because I think for the most part, the Raptors are sort of being reserved when asked about sort of how they compare and stuff like that. A lot of like on paper talk, obviously, because they're not as familiar with each other. But yeah, I mean, like on paper, they improved. And I like that JB kind of said that out loud. Serge Ibaka came through, talked about his cooking show, talked about how he had everybody from the Raptors over at his house. You know, the night before Media Day, after they were grilling him about, you know, him not inviting and stuff like that. So, you know, he says that it was really funny. And based on that, it sounds like, you know, he might have had all of them over for the cooking show, which would be a phenomenal episode if we saw basically the Last Supper, except with, instead of bread and wine, it's like worms and, I don't know, based on this show, it could be some crazy stuff that they're drinking. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Serge seemed pretty refreshed, seemed pretty happy, pretty warm with the media, actually. And he talked about also, you know, working on his face-up game a little bit. And, you know, he's really looking to be more of an impactful defender in the paint. You know, Nick Nurse has told him to be more aggressive on offensive rebounds, which I think is a definitive change from what Dwayne Casey had them do, which is sort of more running back on defense. Whether Serge can actually deliver with that or not, you know, whatever. But, I mean, Serge definitely wasn't going for offensive rebounds last season, so that would be a bit of a change. And yeah, so I mean, I don't know. Serge seemed pretty energetic, pretty happy. CJ Miles, always energetic, always happy. You know, talked about a ton of things. You know, nothing too much. You know, he one thing he did mention was that the Toronto culture is a lot about family, and he talks about how all the players do things together. Everyone's really unselfish, and it's about making you know, creating wins, and you know. That's just nice to hear, I guess. Yeah, who else? Monroe showed up. Like I said, I mean, the biggest thing was just that he thinks he's going to fit fine with the second unit and he doesn't want to be pigeonholed into his role, but he sounds like he thinks he's going to be the backup center. He's been told he's going to be a backup center, and I'm sure the Raptors can give him an ample shot to sort of fill there, but I've said on this podcast before, I ultimately think that the Raptors sort of resolved the front court issue by maybe splitting up Ibaka and JV and putting Ibaka as the bench center. And if that's the case, then Monroe is going to have less opportunities. But I'm sure they'll give him an opportunity first to prove himself throughout media, throughout training camp that starts in Vancouver on Tuesday, and sort of go from there. Because, you know, you want to give everyone a fair shot. And he did take the minimum to come to Toronto. So you got to at least just give him a man the chance to earn his money before taking it away from him. But, you know, we'll see how he looks in that role. You know, I think he's definitely a very skilled player, you know, and sort of a better half-court player than what the Raptors had offensively last season in terms of the bench unit. But there are some fit issues, and despite the fact that Van Vliet and also Monroe said it wasn't an issue, I still need to see it on the court. Anyway, that does it for media day. Like I said earlier on the start of the show, you know, the Ration Podcast will be back throughout the season. Please don't come at me if the show doesn't always come out after the game. I mean, you know, it's going to be very busy. I also write at The Score as well, and, you know, we got a new role there. And so that's obviously always going to take precedence over anything I do on the podcast. But, you know, I love the podcast. I really appreciate everyone supporting the show. Actually, now that the show's back on, I got a reminder that, I still got that Patreon page. If ever you guys want to contribute or whatever, you know, I think it's just giving people an opportunity that, you know, if you want to show support for the show, you can. It's not absolutely not necessary. The show's going to be there regardless of whether or not you guys, you know, put the Patreon funds out there. But I really do appreciate those. And, you know, 10 Things, Reaction Podcasts, you know, it's kind of the lane I've carved out for myself in doing this Raptor stuff. And I kind of love doing it because it's actually real easy for me, because I'm always watching these games. I'm always, you know, got 10 minutes to talk about it. And I've always taken game notes basically for myself. So, might as well just format them a little bit, publish them, and do this podcast. And I love doing it. So thanks to everyone for listening, and the Raptors basketball, baby. We're back.